I am Thiello Lumumba here at the Manzoni Wildlife Estate in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya here in the Mother Continent. As we continue our conversations, I focus on an important figure, Haile Selassie, the power of the Trinity, which is the Amharic meaning of that name, the regnal name that was assumed by Rastafari Makonnen, who became the regent king, if you may, of Ethiopia in the year 1930. And before we come to Haile Selassie, it must be remembered that he comes from an important lineage, Menelik the Second, whose exploits in the Battle of Adwa are well documented. When Menelik was about to die, he died in the year 1913, his grandson Ilyasu became the king and became substantively the king in the year 1913. But he was seen to be moving away from the tradition of that house. And in the year 1916, he was deposed. And when he was deposed, that is how we started having the regency of Rastafari. He became a regent in the year 1916, and the queen was then King Zewdu II. Zewdu II was the daughter of Menelik II, but because of the rules of primogeniture, that is the male that must take over, Ras became the regent in 1916. And it's also important to know that Zewdu II was actually the regnal name, otherwise the lady was known as Askala Mariam. And when she died in 1930, that is when Rastafari assumed the actual kingship and became Haile Selassie as a regnal name. That history is important to appreciate. And from that day on, we now have Rastafari, now known to the world as Haile Selassie. Haile Selassie becomes a very important figure because he is a person who comes from what is claimed to be the house of Solomon through Queen Sheba. And for that reason, in some ways, as one sees in the Rastafari movement, he is a god of sort, and that is the basis of the Rastafari movement. But what happened is that Haile Selassie becomes a very critical figure in Ethiopia, because he begins to modernize Ethiopia. He brings in a constitution that wants to constitutionalize and democratize, but he's also seen as a protector of the Orthodox Christianity, because Ilyasu had wanted to pander to the Muslim. So he's seen as a preserver of Orthodoxy in the manner that was contemplated, would have been contemplated by Menelik and his people in Ethiopia. And he runs the country effectively. But it must also be remembered that this is the period when the Italians are invading that region. So in 1936, the troops of Mussolini invade Ethiopia and is forced into exile in the United Kingdom. He lives in Bath in the United Kingdom and delivers a powerful speech in 1936, telling the world that the fascism of Mussolini must not be allowed. It will destroy the world. And as if he was a prophet, it actually happens during the Second World War when Mussolini and Adolf Hitler do their thing, which then we know as the Second World War. Ultimately, when the Italians have been defeated in 1941, Haile Selassie returns to Ethiopia and continues his activities. And because Ethiopia is not colonized, he becomes a prime mover and a focal point in the liberation struggle. So much so that when other countries are talking about liberation, he is talking about the preservation of African dignity and becomes an important figure from Africa in the formation of the League of Nations. In 1950s, and particularly in 1963, when the African countries which have regained independence are conflicting. At that time, there are two factions of African leaders. There is the Casablanca group, comprising leaders such as Leopold Sédar Senghor and Félix Houphouët Boigny and Amadou Ahidjo and Sylvanus Olympio of Togo. The other side is led by Kwame Nkrumah and has leaders such as Gamal Abdel Nasser, Modibo Keita, Ahmed Sékou Touré, and Mohamed V of Morocco. He brings both the Casablanca group and the Monrovia group, and he invites them as his guests to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, in the month of May. And it is through his midwifery that the Organization of African Unity Charter is signed on the 25th day of May, the year 1963. And that is why Addis Ababa remained the headquarters initially of the OAU, Organization of African Unity, and now the African Union, because of the initiative of Emperor Haile Selassie. Of course, the empire was fundamentally feudalistic, but reforms had been introduced through a new constitutional dispensation, however limited, in the 1950s. And then something happened that was responsible, if you may, for compromising the stability of the emperorship of Haile Selassie. The famine that took root in 1973 and the Wall of Famine. And Ethiopia became synonymous with famine, and the young soldiers took the view that the administration of Haile Selassie was still too aristocratic, that it was too oppressive, that it was not responsive to the needs of the people. And at that time, there was also these ideological wars, and young soldiers within the army, led by the young Mengistu Haile Mariam, took over. Initially, the idea was to replace Emperor Haile Selassie with his son, who refused to take over. He was out of the country in any event. And in 1974, they seized Emperor Haile Selassie, caused him to be detained, and started instituting measures which were moving the administration and the entire government of Ethiopia to a new dispensation of politics informed by what were described as Marxist-Leninist. And of course, it is now recorded that in the month of July or August thereabouts in 1975, the world came to know that Emperor Haile Selassie had died. And it is now recorded and confirmed that he appears to have been strangled. And the record is that he was assassinated by the Deg regime. What then do we remember Emperor Haile Selassie for? Number one, we remember him as an individual whose administration resisted fascism led by Benito Mussolini. We remember Haile Selassie as a pan-Africanist who reconciled warring factions in the immediate aftermath of colonization and became the host of the leaders who then gave birth to the Organization of African Unity, making Ethiopia the capital of Africa. He is remembered as a reformist king who governed both as a demigod and a temporal ruler, giving birth, of course, to a movement that is much more famous in Jamaica called Rastafarians. He is also accused by his detractors as being a monarch who was dictatorial. He is also accused as being a monarch who was slow to respond to the realities of the world, and that the reforms that he made were not far-reaching enough. But when all those factors are put into consideration, I think history will carry the name of Haile Selassie fondly and fairly, because his contributions to the world, his contributions to the continent of Africa, his contribution to Africanness and the pride of African peoples stands out, because at a critical time in the history of the world, he became a symbol of a people who were never colonized. He became a symbol of a people who resisted. He became a symbol of a people who believed in themselves, and he became a symbol of a continent that was under siege. Emperor Haile Selassie will stand out in the history of the world as one who stood out and stood up against imperialism. Thank you very much. We have had a meeting, metaphorically speaking, with Emperor Haile Selassie as we deal with issues involving the continent of Africa. But we shall be back again as we continue these critical conversations regarding the mother continent.